the OTB Podcast Network.
Time for us to welcome David Brady to the show. DB, how are you getting on?
Sure, buddy. How are you keeping? Hope all is well.
I'm very well. How's the head?
Good. Head is good. Head is good. Yeah, I have to say. The weather helps, and I suppose that, more importantly, the heart is even stronger. So that's the main thing.
It's funny how I think for a lot of people it kind of comes and goes, the existential fear of, Jesus, what the hell's going on, to, oh, actually, you know what, I've found a bit of a rhythm here.
Yeah, it's the ebb and flow of it, and you're kind of going, oh, here we go again. But you're kind of going, you know what, we have to take some positives in some way, shape or form out of it. And look at that. For me, look, this is not about sport, it's about life and everything else. It's a chance to recalibrate, reset, and saying, you know what I've been doing, the way I've been living and the way I've been working, is that the way forward? Or can we all get a better balance in life and appreciate the small things? Because, you know what, I have to say, Jar and the rest of you, how in the name of God you're talking about sport with no sport is a credit to yourselves. Because at the end of the day, yes, we listen to ourselves, but we have to listen to what's going on in the world. I have to say, fair play to you individually as a group and off the ball, because it's phenomenal what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, we're in a life where it's not normal. Things aren't happening that always happen. Then we just have to compromise. Some of the nicer things I've seen, and even talking to people over the last couple of days, is that, you know what, people are out kicking ball out their back garden or out in the green with their dad again. I've never seen as many kids one-to-one with their dad, or, you know, two kids and the dad kicking a ball to each other in the park. You don't see that no more. And I think, you know, for me, it's the small things that I'm taking out of it.
Yeah. Life lessons for all of us to live better lives by thrust upon us and forced upon us. But that point you're making about everybody looking around going, is this how I'm supposed to be living my life? Is this, like, have I been wasting a little bit of my time? And the answer is obviously yes. A lot of us have been wasting a lot of our time.
Yeah. And I think, you know what, it's a good time to reflect on everything else about what has gone on in our lives and the way we work and the way we do things. And yeah, you go and look at it. I myself, again, I do a lot of traveling. I do a lot of running, racing. Yes, I have to go on and travel internally and externally in the country, but it's still, can you provide some of what I do in a different way, in a different format that saves me time and probably other people time as well? Look, we all need that human interaction. We all need to look someone in the eye. We all need that kind of face-to-face. But, yeah, it's for me, I know I have two kids, 6 and 2. I'll never in my life, until I retire, and they'll be well gone, they'll be rid of me at that stage, never spent as much time with them. Quality time, or, again, as the man says, giving off time, some of it. But you kind of say, you know what, hold back. Don't lose the rag. And I do be telling them the same thing to myself. Don't lose the rag with daddy. I'm only here with you too. But it's good.
Does that work? Is that the best bit of advice that we're going to get today? Tell your kids, don't lose the rag with me. Does it work?
Yeah. Put the hands up. I'm only here with you too. We're all this together.
A classic. And so, and the reason we're talking to you this morning specifically is that over the course of the weekend, you just put out a tweet about if anybody wants a phone call from you, for people to get in touch. So tell us first off about the message, where it came from, where the impetus for this came from.
Yeah, I spent, I suppose, Friday and Saturday in the garden, and man, says lovely weather and everything else. And I went onto my phone. I had a direct message from a guy called Kevin. And I read it and I kind of went, right, Kevin was asking me, and again, he gave me a degree of detail that said, you know what, this guy is really, you know, asking for a little. And it was more or less that his father himself go to Mayo matches, they're Mayo mad in all intents and purposes, and loved the games in 90X and loved the games in 2004, and I think watched the My Locker Gale program there last Thursday, 2 weeks, and said they really resonated with what football means to people. He says, I know this is an off chance, but he's a widower. He's farming down in Wicklow. He moved out 39 years ago, approximately. And would there be any chance you give him a call? It could lift his spirits. And I went sound of the pound, no problem. And to tell you, Jar, at the conversation that I had and the subsequent conversations I've had with people would do your heart good on the coldest of days. And it turned out that Tom was herding two heifers when I rang him. And I'm kind of going to myself, right, how do I pitch this? Because, geez, maybe he mightn't even remember David Brady. So I went, Tom, how are you doing? You don't know me. He goes, I don't. I says, I don't know, have you ever heard of me anyway? But I says, my name is David Brady. I'm from Ballinan, Mayo, and I played GA for Mayo for 16 years. And I could sense it straight away. He went, is this a skit? I says, no, Tom, it's not. I says, I know you're down there in Wicklow, and you've been GA mad like myself. I said, look, Kevin, your son, give me your number. I hope you don't mind me ringing you. And for the next 25 minutes, I had one of the nicest conversations, and about life and about football. And, like, he broached the subject. You're into cancer yourself. And I work in the area of oncology. And that was, for me, a sign to say, well, I says, what have you had experience with yourself? And it was more or less that his wife died 15 years ago. And you know what? From any man and everything else, he was more or less saying, yes, he missed his wife. And we went through conversation about his two grandkids. And his way of saying he loved his grandkids was, you know, I do be a bit narky, but the two grandkids, they've softened me up. And it wasn't sad, but it was lovely. And this is a man. And it turned out at the very end of the conversation that the two heifers that he was herding was for an 83-year-old neighbour who had a veterinary test that next morning. And he was doing his good while I was doing my very small piece. But to say, and the minute I came off that, I said, you know what? I can do that. So I did put out the message to say, if there's anyone in any corner of the country or the world that has a mother, a father, and I said heifer as well, that wants to talk to you, I'll talk it. And to say it has been absolutely heartwarming, it has been unbelievable, the conversations I've had in every corner of the world. New York, England, Spain, down to Mayo, down to the, Paris, to Dublin, people living in Dublin. It's just been absolutely fantastic. And it hasn't been, you know what I've done, George? I've listened. And it hasn't really been about football. It has, yes, in the context of me ringing them. The hardest job to have is to get them to believe me first. But it's life stories. I'm talking to people in their 60s, 70s, 80s. I talked to a man called Liam on Sunday. And he's 82, 83 coming and remembers 1951. But it was just their life stories that they're telling me. And I'm learning more about games in the 60s against Galway and the rivalries back then than I ever knew of football. And I think it's, you know what, for me, it's no matter who will ask me, I will. Every single one of them, bring them personally over the next 3 weeks.
It's funny, when you say it's not really about football, it turns out people just want to have conversations, right?
And that's exactly it.
And they want to have meaningful conversations, I think. Like, we haven't always been good at having conversations where we get to the truth about what's actually happening. We have a, let's talk about the weather, how are you doing, I'm grand. Let's kick the can down the road. Whereas actually, it turns out, everybody's lonely at some level, unless you actually find people not to be lonely with. And I think that there's probably an honesty coming about people's conversations now for the first time.
Oh, girl, I'm telling you. And man says 20, I'd say the minimum I've on to anyone is 10 minutes. 35, 40 minutes have been the longest. I phoned a man, Thomas, yesterday. His son got in contact with me. And he tells me his life story. He was seven when he had TB. Missed national school, went working on it with his hands, labouring. Ended up that he could be a plumber or electrician, and anyway, he worked who worked on so many sites. But he went back to college at 50 years of age, did architectural design drawing at 50, qualified at 55. Now he's 67. And he had his heart stopped five times last August. And he said, you know what? He says, I was gone, because I put the head back and I was gone. And every time he said the heart stopped, I knew I was gone. I'm going, Jesus, this is life. This is a man that I've never met before, rang him. And again, you're David Brady, are you? I said, I am, Tom, I am. And he's trying to make myself believe I was who I was. But the conversation I had with him, and he's had pneumonia twice, so he's in a very, very vulnerable place from a health point of view. But I had a 25-minute conversation with him yesterday, and it was, you know what, I'm coming off these phone calls with a pep in my step. And I think it's you know, even Alan Brogan, in all fairness to Alan, if you look at Alan's Twitter page now, he has some amount of phone calls to make, but Alan is doing it as well. And you can see some of the messages that's coming back from the sons or daughters, or like, you rang my mother today, you don't realise how much it meant to her. These small things. And for us, look at, man says, yes, we're still working from home. We have time. And it's to make that call and ask. And all I'm asking is, how's things? How are you keeping? And you know, Ger, you work in this business. The most important part of any conversation is listening.
How hopeful are you, David, that this is actually part of what our lives will be in the future, that even after you're finished a busy day at work, you will think about picking up the phone to somebody and asking, how are you?
You know what? It's if I learn one thing, and it's even in the course of conversation face to face or picking up the phone, it is that you know what? We have no one else to look after except each other. Whether you're, you know, and I think it is the whole thing now of you're nearly stepping sideways on. You're just stepping 20 yards from humanity every time you meet someone. Or it's not natural to us. And the one thing we can still do is talk. We can still converse. We can still get each other's message across. And again, as you said, the most basic thing, how are you? Because it's not natural for us to be dodging people on the street or in a path or walking 10 yards across the other side of the road. And that's what's going to be for a while to come yet, and a good while to come yet, months, from a social distancing point of view. But it's and no matter where you go, we haven't got games on, we haven't got sport, but we have our conversations and we have our voices. And whether it's face to face on the other side of the street or the other side of the garden fence or on the phone, I think it's good to talk, and I have heard nobody. And the guy, I'd say now I'm up on 35 phone calls, 40 phone calls, conversations, and I've had nobody. And these are elderly people. I think we need to take a lesson from these. These are people in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that are not holding back. They're not afraid to say or to tell a story or tell me some part of their lives. There was one more man yesterday, I was talking to him, and he's moved out of his house into a pitchet. Very, very, very much involved in GAA. When he moved up, he was a psychiatric nurse from Mayo, started in a junior club, but had a very, very influential say in a prominent county footballer's life at the minute, and that's playing for Dublin at the minute. What was a simple thing from a young coaching perspective, but he's living in a bedsit. His mother, his wife, does catering in Beaumont Hospital. His son is a physio that's self-isolating because his partner, the buddy that he worked from a physio perspective, got COVID. So he's moved out of his house. And you know what? I had a fantastic conversation with him about what football meant to him. But again, the little things he did for players. Or the little, you know, from an under 10 or under 12 coach. Now he goes out for a walk in the morning, and from 7 to 8, he said, don't be laughing at me. He says, I do a few squats. He said, I think he's 71 years old. I said, do keep doing your squats. But he was. I've heard nobody in my conversations, boys, negative. Not an absolute one. And they're 60, 70 or 80 years of age.
It's very interesting, Dave, that you touch on the age profile here, because in one way you can look at it saying it was great back then when there was no mobile phones and there was more human interactions and there was more conversation and storytelling was a thing certainly of the past, which we don't necessarily see too much anymore. But at the same time, a certain generation is associated with being closed off and not very in touch with their emotions and not very willing to have the conversations about what they're feeling. So there's a bit of a conflict there. And it sounds that perhaps you're starting to see that that is starting to change a little bit, that they've always been great communicators, but perhaps the subject matter of a certain generation hasn't been what it is right now or what you're experiencing right now through those phone calls.
And that's exactly it. And no matter what way you have a conversation in life, it's two-way. And if it's only coming one way, the conversation ends fairly rapid. And again, it is these people that had conversation and had talk and had communication without what we have today, without the conduits that we have today for our own, whether it's social media. And again, yes, phones and computers and laptops and everything else. But yes, these people are losing ground. But we've got to realise. And you know what? I had a phone call last night. A guy said, "Look, will you give John George a phone call?" I said, "I will." And this guy likes to go for his pint. Most nights of the week. It's not for the alcohol content, but it's for the social aspect of it. Too. And he'd throw a few Fs and blinds, and it's all in relation to football. And he started off giving off about Galway men saying, "Ah, Jesus, we missed our chance to put you down to Division 2. But it ended up, the conversation was, he says, and now this fella's in his 50s. Well, you know, he says, "I go to the pub now and I walk in and there's three fellas at the counter and then I'm sitting there and they're looking at the phones." He said, "You know what, a few weeks ago he said, I turned around and said, F this, he says. I didn't come here to be looking at fellas looking into their phones. I came here for a chat." And he walked out of the pub. I'm going, Jesus. And this guy is not in his, but he's probably the current way of life. You're going, you know what, he is going to the pub for a chat. And a conversation and an argument on football or whatnot, but three other people looking into the phones and him sitting at the counter. He said he left. And again, I got contacted by a fella that knew him, but it turned out that this is a local guard that went up and visited him the night before, and ate a sandwich and had a cup of tea out in the door with him. Like the small things that people are doing, and it's again. It's conversational. It's saying, "How are you? How's things? I'm here for you. And you're not on your own." And I think no matter what part of humanity or no matter what part of lessons we learn, we can't lose these. Or we can't forget them because, yes, we've all been, in our generation, guys, we've been through financial crisis of what, 2008-2009. But sometimes it doesn't take long to revert. Like New Year's Eve, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to give up that. At the end of 30 days, it's over. 80% of your New Year's resolutions are broken. And when this all ends, and it will be a slow, it's not going to end overnight, so it might help us in that way. We need to continue a certain format of life that we've learned from this turbulent time.
I think you're dead right, DB. I think you're showing real leadership, to be honest. And I know it's a really simple thing that you did, but the simplicity of it is a really beautiful thing too, where you're just listening to people. And so much of the stories that we've heard about and the pictures that we've seen have been people giving out about stuff like the chipper queue or the N11 being blocked. And it's like, let's all get angry and angry and angry and angrier and then let it all explode. Or do what you did, which is send out a simple message and reach out to people. And I actually think so many people are doing what you're doing.
And we don't know it, and it's. I put the message out, yes, socially to say, you know what, I'm there if you're needed. But the amount of people across, and we know it, we come from three different parts of the country, boys. The amount of people that are doing the small things and you're going again. It's not a country thing. It's not Kerry or Kildare or Mayo. It's a national thing, Dublin and wide across the country. It's the mail. It's the little bit of, I'm here for you. how's things? How are you keeping? And from that, it means that, you know what, you're not alone, and there is someone there. And that, look, at there's so many great people out there that are doing small things. And it's you know what, we look back in years to come and say, I remember it, but I learned from it. And yeah. I maybe I became a better person for it.
Well, you are a good man, DB, and I say that without fear of contradiction. I hope your kids take it easy on you. You deserve it. Thanks a million.
Boys, an absolute pleasure. Talk to you and keep safe, and we'll see you when the ball is thrown back in.
I can't wait for it. DB there giving us some thoughts about what we could all be doing a little bit more of, reaching out to people who might need a chat and who might need somebody to listen to them. You can give us your response to that by WhatsApp 087 9180 180, or you can get us on Twitter, where that whole campaign started. And in fairness, you mentioned Alan Brogan weighed in. I think Johnny Doyle has weighed in as well. So hopefully loads more people are going to take that opportunity. And, we'll do our bit to help highlight that too, as we can.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.